We'll go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Ruth and continue through our series in that book. I'm looking at Ruth chapter 3 this time. We saw before how God began to provide for these poor widows after they had suffered great losses with the death of their husbands. God provided help through Boaz, who showed kindness to them by allowing Ruth to glean in his fields. He also ensured they had plenty of food to eat, and he also protected Ruth as she worked in the fields. And today we'll see a Naomi's hope for redemption begin to become a reality as she coaches Ruth to ask Boaz to marry her and to redeem their family. So let's read Ruth chapter 3. Hear the word of the Lord. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative, with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she replied, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer. Yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" She replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out. For the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." This is the reading of God's Word. Now let's go to Him in prayer. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank You for another opportunity that we may have to sit in Your presence, to hear from You through Your Word. We pray that Your Holy Spirit will be working mightily in our midst this morning, granting us understanding and enlightenment, and also pointing out those areas that we need to turn over to You in repentance. And pray You'd strengthen our faith in Christ this morning and conform us more to Him. And we pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one of the most frustrating things in life are unexpected complications. Right? You work hard, you have a good hope of success, and then you are surprised by some unknown factor which could really depress you if you didn't have a firm hope. And that's the kind of problem that Ruth and Naomi encountered in this part of the story. They encountered an unexpected complication as they pursued Boaz to be their redeemer. There was a closer relative who had the responsibility of redemption first. But Boaz, as their chosen redeemer, promised to work through that complication for them. So as we study this passage today, we'll just look at three main points. We'll look at the proposal of Naomi, and then the proposal of Ruth, and then the proposal of Boaz. So that's our three main points or divisions in the sermon this morning. The proposal of Naomi, the proposal of Ruth, and then the proposal of Boaz. And as we study this passage, my hope for you is that you will see the faithfulness of God in providing for His people despite unexpected complications. And appreciate what this picture of redemption also teaches us about Jesus. All right, so with that in mind, let's look at our first point. That is the proposal of Naomi. A few weeks have gone by since the events of chapter 2. The harvest was done, and now the winnowing or the threshing would begin. And that process of separating the grain from the chaff before they stored the grain for winter. And Naomi began to think about Ruth's future and how to provide for Ruth, just as Ruth had worked so hard to provide for her. So we see here in verse 1, it says, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, 'My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you?'" And Naomi wanted Ruth to enjoy rest. In the ancient world, this was the ideal situation for a woman, to find stability and peace in the home of a good husband. And a husband would provide better for Ruth than Naomi could. Now, Naomi thought that a good marriage was possible for Ruth. So Naomi made a proposal. Verse 2, it says, "Is not Boaz our relative, with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But then, when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." So this was Naomi's proposal. She created a plan for Ruth to ask Boaz to marry her. Told her to take a bath, anoint herself with perfume, and put on her cloak. And that word for cloak here is translated in different ways. It could mean your best clothes, or it could simply just be your outer garment. But what was probably implied here is that Ruth must put aside her mourning clothes. It's possible that Ruth wore some sort of mourning garment. And that may be why Boaz never took any initiative yet to pursue a marriage to Ruth. He probably respected her time to grieve her dead husband. But Naomi was saying that now was the time to indicate that you are willing to marry again. So she encouraged Ruth to dress up and present herself to Boaz on the threshing floor at night. The threshing floor was usually this large, flat place up on a hill, usually made of stone. And there the farmers would beat the grain and then toss it up in the air. And the wind would carry away the chaff, while the heavier kernels of grain would fall down. And after this, it would be gathered and stored for winter. And apparently, the evening breezes were better for this job. So Boaz was working in the evening. And often someone would sleep with the grain overnight to guard it from wild animals until it was stored up the next day. And that's what Boaz is doing here. Naomi knew this common routine, and that Boaz would work hard, and then eat and drink, and then go to sleep by the grain. And Naomi felt this was the right time for Ruth to present herself to him. She told her to lie down at his feet, which was a posture of humility. We saw Ruth do this back in chapter 2, when Boaz showed her kindness. And it says in verse 10, "Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground." This was the posture of humility and respect. Now, on the one hand, this proposal was risky for Ruth. Presenting herself like this at night, alone, on the threshing floor with Boaz, it could lead to embarrassment if he refused. Or he could have misunderstood her intentions, thinking that she was acting like a prostitute, which was common back then. Even worse, it could have resulted in shameful or sinful actions that could have ruined her. But on the other hand, Naomi and Ruth knew that Boaz was not that kind of man. Remember how Boaz was described back in chapter 2 and verse 1. It says he was a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech. That term, worthy man, literally means a man of valor, a man of great character and courage. They experienced his compassion and kindness for several weeks now. They knew that he honored the Lord and respected them, so there was no risk of danger from him, even though they didn't know if he would say yes. So this was Naomi's proposal, and Ruth accepted. She followed this risky and bold plan of her mother-in-law. It says in verse 5, she replied, "All that you say, I will do." So that was the proposal of Naomi. That brings us then to our next point. That's the proposal of Ruth. Ruth prepared herself and went to the threshing floor, just as Naomi instructed. We see in verse 7, it says, "And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down." Now, we don't know what time she arrived or how long she lay there. It says that at midnight he woke up. And you can kind of hear the humor in the verse there. It says, "At midnight the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he says, 'Who are you?' And he was surprised." Remember, it was probably very dark. He only had moonlight, if he had any light at all. So he couldn't recognize who lay at his feet or why she was there. And Ruth answered by giving her proposal to Boaz. It says in verse 9, "And she answered, 'I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer.'" Now that term, "spread your wings," maybe translated as "spread your garment over me." But the idea here is that Ruth asked Boaz to let her come under his care and protection within his household. She asked to become his wife. And even more, she asked him to redeem her. And we mentioned this practice of Levirate marriage before. In Israel, a relative of a dead husband could marry the widow and redeem the family line from extinction. The firstborn son of this marriage would be counted as the heir of Ruth's dead husband, Mahlon. And that child would receive the name and inheritance of that family line. And that way, the line would continue to live on in the presence of God in the Promised Land. The rest of the children would belong to Boaz and his family line. So Ruth is asking Boaz to marry her and redeem her. And Boaz was honored by Ruth's request. And thus he answered her tenderly. It says in verse 10, "And he said, 'May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether rich or poor.'" Now, Boaz was honored and surprised that Ruth would ask him, especially when there were apparently plenty of other eligible young bachelors to choose from. Boaz was probably middle-aged at this point, maybe a little older. But he honored her request. This is in verse 11 there. "And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman." And so Boaz said yes. And he gave his reason why. Everyone knew she was a worthy woman. And that term, "worthy woman," is very unique in Scripture. It's found in only two other places in the Bible. First, in Proverbs 12:4, which says, "An excellent wife is the crown of her husband." And then again in Proverbs 31:10, "An excellent wife who can find?" That term, "excellent wife," is the same Hebrew term used here for "worthy woman." In Boaz's mind, Ruth was the Proverbs 31 woman, the excellent wife that every godly man should look for. So that's one reason why he accepted her proposal. She would be a godly wife and serve the Lord with him. And it's interesting that Ruth, this new convert from the pagan country of Moab, is the only woman in Scripture called the worthy woman or the excellent wife. She embodied all the virtues of the proverbial wife and was held out as the practical example of what a Proverbs 31 woman looks like. She was hardworking, she loved her family, she loved the Lord, and she would honor and respect her husband. But then Boaz announced an unexpected complication. He was not the only man who could redeem her. We see that in verse 12. It says, "And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I." There was a closer relative to Ruth's husband, and he had the greater obligation to redeem her. The circle of redeemers began with unmarried brothers and then moved up to unmarried brothers of the father. and then to cousins, and so on. And as much as Boaz wanted to marry and redeem her, he had to follow the law. And so we've seen the proposal of Naomi and the proposal of Ruth. That brings us to our final point briefly. That's the proposal of Boaz. Even though Boaz had to defer to this closer redeemer, he still promised to act on her behalf. You see in verse 13, he says, "Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he will not, if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you." Now Boaz promised to resolve this problem first thing in the morning. He would make sure she was redeemed, one way or the other. And he swore an oath before the Lord that he would redeem her if the other man did not. And then Boaz had her lie down at his feet until morning. And then she got up early while it was still dark enough that no one could recognize who she was. And here Boaz was protecting Ruth's reputation. She had taken a great risk by coming to him in the evening. And he didn't want her future jeopardized by scandal or gossip. And apparently some other workers were there too. But he told them not to say anything about her being there. Then Boaz provided one more token of his commitment. He gave her some grain to take home. And this in verse 15 says, "Bring your garment you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it out, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. And then she went into the city. And so Boaz gave her more grain. We don't know the exact amount of this time, but it was generous enough to give Ruth and Naomi hope that he meant to keep his word. And as Ruth carried that grain home, if anyone grew curious, then it would give her a plausible excuse for why she was out so early. She was bringing food to her family. So Boaz here showed his good character in protecting and providing for Ruth and refusing to take advantage of her. And as Ruth came home, Naomi was waiting. She says in verse 16, "How did you fare, my daughter?" Ruth told her everything, including a subtle message that Boaz gave to Naomi. Verse 17 says, Ruth said, "These 6 measures of barley he gave me, for he said to me, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" Now the grain was not just a gift of food, but a signal to Naomi that Boaz would act. And Naomi understood the message. In verse 18, she replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." Naomi knew from Boaz's character and his promise and his gift that Boaz would keep his word and act quickly on their behalf. The only unknown question now was who the redeemer would be, Boaz or this other man. So we've seen the proposal of Naomi, the proposal of Ruth, and the proposal of Boaz. Let me close with just a few points to think about from our passage. First, notice again God's secret providential care for these widows, unfolding through human actions. We saw it in chapter 2, and we see it again here. God provided for them and worked for them at the same time that they were fulfilling their own responsibilities. Ruth was working hard to provide food. Naomi was working hard to provide a husband for Ruth. And Boaz would work hard to redeem Ruth. Each worked within their own spheres of responsibility. But it's clear from the bigger picture that God was the one organizing these events for their good. They worked, but they trusted God to provide for them, even with the unexpected complications. And unexpected complications are not unexpected by God. They simply provide us another opportunity to trust and obey God as we wait for results. So we see throughout this story how God secretly provided for these widows, as each person did his own part within the opportunities given to them. Now another thing we can notice here is, notice what mattered most to both Ruth and Boaz in their pursuit of marriage. And I don't recommend following Ruth's example here and proposing marriage to Boaz. Right? This was a unique situation. But I do recommend paying attention to what they thought were the necessary qualifications for a marriage partner. Boaz was called a worthy man, and Ruth was called a worthy woman. They were known for their good character, characters that were shaped by their relationships with God as a redeemer. They loved God and loved their neighbors. They were hard workers, and they took their family responsibilities seriously. And in that way, Boaz and Ruth embodied the ideal character of the wise husband and wife described in the book of Proverbs. And if you are considering what to look for in a future husband or wife, you need to ask yourself, does this person live out the virtues of a worthy man or woman? If that person you are considering doesn't live out these simple and practical virtues of loving God and neighbor, then you need to move on. But even more, do you live out these virtues? The best way to find a person who embodies these virtues is to embody them yourselves. If you are devoted to loving the Lord and your family, then that will be very attractive to someone else who has the same priorities. That doesn't always work out that way, but it often does. And thinking over these virtues here can help you improve your marriage as well. Husbands, how can you better provide your wife rest and refuge under your wings? How can you improve in protecting and providing for your wife? And wives, what way can you be more humble and respectful toward your husband, like Ruth here? And what ways can you improve as a helper fit for him? Now, these character qualities are what mattered most to Ruth and Boaz. Ruth apparently had many other options to choose from, and Boaz, as an older man, probably did not. But both put godly character first in their choice of a marriage partner. Being married to a person of Christ-like character is more important than just achieving the goal of getting married and having kids. And that is a goal to keep working towards, even after you're married. So we can learn from what Ruth and Boaz valued most in their choice of a marriage partner, not only in picking a partner, but in growing with that partner over the rest of your lives together. And finally, as we saw last time, this story of redemption provides us a glimpse into the greater redemption that Christ provides to all who call upon Him. Boaz gives us a glimpse of the righteous and compassionate character of Christ and His willingness to redeem lost sinners. Spread your wings over me is basically what you're asking Christ to do for you when you call upon Him for salvation. You're asking Christ to take you into His care and to provide you everything that you cannot provide for yourself. You need atonement for your sins, and Christ covers you with His blood. You have a record of guilt and condemnation, but Christ covers you with His righteousness. You are a stranger and an enemy to God, filled with shame, but Christ covers you with the gift of adoption into God's family. You have inherited eternal destruction for your sin, but Christ has covered you with the inheritance of eternal life. You have a corrupt heart which drives you to sin, but Christ gives you a new heart and cleanses you from that corruption and shame within. Through His life, death, and resurrection, you are redeemed out of bondage to sin and death and given freedom and life with God. And all you must do is come to Christ with empty hands in all your poverty and shame and call upon Christ to be your Redeemer. And He will save you and make you His own. And if you have not done that yet, then consider this a personal invitation from Christ to come to Him for salvation, the salvation that only He can provide. And for those who may have forgotten what their Redeemer is like, this is an invitation for you to get reacquainted with the One who loved you and gave Himself for you. And so, may the Lord help us to reflect upon what we've studied today and drive these truths deeper into our hearts. Let it help us appreciate the way He secretly works through our troubles to provide what we need. But even more, let it help us to appreciate the Redeemer He provided to us as a gift of His free grace. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the story of redemption that we've been studying in the book of Ruth. We thank You for the ways in which it points us to You, pointing to Your providential care for those You love, but also in pointing to the way Christ saves us out of our sin and misery and gives us an inheritance of glory. And we pray that you would help these truths to sink deeper into our hearts and minds, that they would indeed change us and transform us. That they would free us from our own sins and conform us more and more to the image of Christ. We pray that you would help us all to embody the virtues we've seen here, that our characters would be reshaped to become like Christ himself, not only in the way we act with our neighbors, but in the way that we live with our spouses. And so we ask for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.